Very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May the 31st, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, two vendors that were arrested by the Gweru City Council a few weeks ago for vending in undesignated places will appear in court this coming week to learn their fate, with the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe hoping for the release of their members.
We are calling upon the government and the municipality of Gweru to revise the way they do business with vendors and to treat vendors as people, individuals who are trying to make sure that they look after their families.
And the Zimbabwe Grain Millers Association's High Court order against the Agriculture Ministry in dispute of the issuance of permits for maize importers granted to independent importers recently has been dismissed.
Our clients are going to be prejudiced because the flooding of this cheap import is going to reduce the prices that they have to offer to the farmers for them to buy the grain in order for them to mill it into milling meal.
The Queen Makers Trust, a group that empowers, inspires and mentors women, says they will be holding more breakfast meetings for women after a successful breakfast meeting in Harare.
Basically, we have breakfast meetings bi-monthly, and we train and coach women entrepreneurs in areas where they need capacity in order for them to flourish in their businesses and in their careers.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with the Tatenda Gumbo. Two vendors who were arrested by the Gweru City Council a few weeks ago for vending in undesignated places will appear in court this coming week to learn their fate, with the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe hoping for the release of their members. National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai tells us more.
We as the National Vendors Union, we remain clear that these vendors are just being falsely accused of disorderly conduct, but these are innocent individuals who are trying to fend for their families. We are calling upon the government and the municipality of Gweru to revise the way they do business with vendors and to treat vendors as able individuals who are trying just to make sure that they look after their families. We are all aware of the current situation in the country. There are no jobs, and vendors are just trying to make sure that they look after their families, and there is nothing criminal about vending. So we urge the city of Gweru and the government to support vendors, not to treat them as criminals like what we are seeing in Gweru at the moment.
Can you give us background into why these two were arrested and where? What had they done?
They were arrested because they are doing vending, basically. They are being accused of selling at the undesignated site. That's why they were arrested. These are individuals who are trying to fight corruption within the vending enterprise. These are individuals who are part of our leadership structure in Gweru, and they are doing a lot in terms of supporting the vending enterprise. So we view this as an attempt by the city of Gweru to destabilize our structures, our vending structures in Gweru.
So what is the way forward since they were denied bail? What's going to happen now? Are they still in custody, and for how long have they been in custody?
They are still in custody.
When is the next bail hearing for your members?
On the 4th of June, but we have already approached the High Court to ensure that we have redressed particular guests.
We've seen that there are a lot of armed robberies that have been happening on buses that have been traveling to South Africa, and most of the passengers were allegedly vendors that were going to order their wares in South Africa. As the Vending Association, what are you urging your members to do as a precaution when they travel for business to South Africa?
We urge our members to be extra cautious. These are acts of criminality. We know that people are aware of the capacity that vendors have in terms of contributing to the development of the economy. economy. Criminals are aware of the fact that vendors will be carrying lots of money with them, but we urge the authorities to do more in terms of protecting vendors, because these guys are just contributing to the development of the economy, and we cannot allow a situation where criminals take advantage of vendors. We want them to be protected, because these guys are just doing but honest business, and after all, they are supporting the economy. Zimbabwe is what it is today because of vendors. If there was no vending, probably the economy would have collapsed by now. We urge our members to carry plastic money, because it's one of the security measures to ensure that we guard against these criminals. Vendors should not carry huge monies with them, because they expose themselves to criminals. We are starting programs that are aimed at ensuring that we educate our members in terms of being security conscious and emphasizing the need for plastic money.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai in Harare. The Zimbabwe Grain Millers Association's High Court order against the Agricultural Ministry in dispute to the issuance of permits for maize importers granted to the independent importers recently has been dismissed. The association, through their lawyer Tonderai Batasara of Mpanga and Batasara attorneys, had taken the Agricultural Minister Joseph Mande and others to the High Court seeking a reversal of the decision to award maize import licenses to independent importers recently. And the move is set to actually make maize more affordable for the people, but the association says they will be running out of business. We hear more on the issue from lawyer Tonderai Batasara.
The matter was heard before Justice Mafusire at the High Court, and the respondents had raised the three preliminary points that the matter was not urgent and that the High Court had no jurisdiction and that we had used the wrong procedure. All those three points were dismissed by the judge, indicating that the matter was indeed urgent, as it was of national importance for certainty to be known in the industry. And he then proceeded to deal with the merits of the matter, and regrettably, he then dismissed the application with the cost, indicating that his reasons would follow. But in summary, he appeared to have noted that the application was not supported by the legal provisions that we were citing, which included the right to administrative justice in terms of Section 68(1) of the Constitution of Zimbabwe.
Is this going to prejudice your clients in any way?
Our clients are going to be prejudiced greatly, because whilst we are waiting for the reason from the judge in order for us to map a way forward, whether to appeal or not, our clients are going to be prejudiced, because the flooding of these cheap imports is going to reduce the prices that they have to offer to the farmers for them to buy the grain in order for them to mill it into mill meal. And then they also anticipate a massive loss of jobs as they will cut costs in order for them to survive against these cheap imports.
That was Tonderai Batasara of Mpanga, Batasara attorneys, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. The Queen Makers Trust, a group that empowers, inspires, and mentors women, says they will be holding more breakfast meetings for women after a successful breakfast meeting held in Harare last week. Founder Charity Mavindidze tells us more.
Basically, we have breakfast meetings bi-monthly, and we train and coach women entrepreneurs in areas where they need capacity in order for them to flourish in their businesses and in their careers.
So when is your next breakfast meeting?
Our next breakfast meeting is after 2 months, the last Friday of July, 2015.
And you recently had a breakfast meeting on Friday. Tell us about that.
Well, the breakfast meeting on Friday was fabulous. We had a fantastic group of professional women and business women and women entrepreneurs from Harare. Most of them were under the age of 40. The queen and her brand, and we're focusing on personal branding for women.
And what was the major highlight at that breakfast meeting?
The major highlight for us at the breakfast meeting was just seeing the women having fun. What we really basically do is women just come and are themselves. There's no pressure to be anything, just to be themselves, and they network and interact and have fun. The major highlight was the branding message, where we're saying that a woman needs to develop a powerful personal brand, and they need to fashion their brand so that they step out and become who they really are. They shouldn't conform to things that try and bring them down. They should live out their personal truths.
Give us a few names of some of the personalities or some of the guests that were at your breakfast meeting.
Oh, we had a lovely array of guests, and they were powerful brands. We had Taro Makanga, who's with Shafage, but she's also a television presenter with ZTV, amazing woman who chaired the panel of other brands, where we had Ruvene Koparnietwa, a presenter with GFM, and we had Kudwa Chichike, a founder of Dikauzi, an African jewelry making company. And we had Terunet Gitare, a very powerful upcoming, not even upcoming, she's already arrived, she's here, a female musician who's really doing well with building her brand. Then we had Ngetcherai Mahaka, who's a marketing and brand strategist who owns a company called True Reflections. And there was Nomandore, who is also an amazing social media brand, who has done great things and great work on the social media arena. And, of course, I was there as well, and I spoke on branding and under my company, Avoda Consultants.
That was the founder of Queen Makers Trust, Charity Mavindidze, speaking to us from Harare.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Mike Musonza, a Zimbabwean living here in Washington, D.C., a recent Howard University grad and on his way to work in the financial industry in New York City. Mike, thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Oh, thanks, Tatenda. I appreciate you inviting me.
And of course, full disclosure, that's also my alma mater. So congratulations there.
It's you.
Now, Mike, tell me about your journey. How did you end up here going to Howard University?
When I got to the U.S., I didn't waste no time. I enrolled in a community college and I started taking credits. Then I asked one of my uncles that had attended Howard University how I could, you know, attend Howard as well. Because, you know, a community college is small. The type of courses you take are kind of limited. I then transferred to Howard. You know, it's kind of funny because I had saved up only $1,200. And, you know, I didn't know how I was going to pay for it, but it's something that I had, you know, put my mind to it and said, hey, I'm going to do this.
And your experience at Howard was all-encompassing. Talk about the experience that you had with other Africans and also other Zimbabweans and what that meant for you.
My experience with other Africans at first, you know, was kind of a bit shaky. There are not a lot of Southern African students at Howard. It's mostly Central and Northern Western. So they have a tight, kind of a tight work. And, you know, it's hard to break through. But nonetheless, I never looked at that. I still engaged in conversations with them and build relationships with them.
And now you're on your way into the financial industry. But how would you compare that to what is happening for some counterparts in Zimbabwe? And, you know, how you've tried to use that to fuel you?
You know, in the 80s, the same thing that is happening in the U.S. is what was happening in Zim. You go to UZ, you go to NASTO, you go to Polytechnical. Straight after school, you go in the industry. It was the same thing. But when things changed, fine, you know, people were going to school, but there were no jobs. But here, what makes the U.S. so exciting and so great is that there's opportunity. And the opportunities reward the hard work. So if you work hard, you will get rewarded. No doubt about it.
You are part of a group calling itself a Next Generation. Can you talk about that and what you guys are trying to do?
I'm going to start here. Network is a very important thing because, like, at the end of the day, it's about information, right? Your value is the information that you hold. So why we wanted to start that group is, look, the Zimbabwean network is so big and so rich in terms of knowledge. You know, it's an untapped well, right? So we are trying to merge. If you've gone through an experience and you would want to share it so that someone doesn't go through the same thing that you went through, you know, why not put it in that group and just help other people? Like, at the end of the day, you know, we're all brothers. We're all going through the same struggle. Let's just help each other.
Who are you inviting? Of course, you're talking about Zimbabweans, but Zimbabweans from where?
Every Zimbabwean.
And speaking on that idea of networking, how important for you to merge the ideas of every Zimbabwean in particular? Are those in Zimbabwe in order to bridge that connection?
I think it's very important because at the end of the day, these are fundamental issues, right? So we have generational shifts that are happening right now, right? We have the old generation pushing more to the retirement stage, and we have our generation coming in to fill in those positions. So what's important is, okay, the information that we're learning right now, we need to share it together. From whether you're in first world or you're in third world. And that information can help us, like, build something that's great. You know, it might be a simple problem that can be solved with, you know, just a simple solution. So I think it's very important for us to really start engaging and sharing ideas, because everything starts with an idea. I want every Zimbabwean to connect. That's where we are lacking as Zimbabweans, is that we are being so individualistic, and it's killing the knowledge that we have and that we can actually all gain from.
And for those who are interested, how can they get in touch?
It's on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Just type in Next Generation and like it, and you'll be in touch.
And what would you say to a young Zimbabwean who might be listening to you?
I say this to them. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. You have to just put your mind to it. For every youth that is listening, anything is possible. It just requires the work, the planning. First, you got to plan, you got to put in the work, then you got to execute your plan. That's all it needs.
Mike, I do want to thank you so very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Tatinda. I appreciate it.
That was Mike Musonza, Zimbabwean living here in the U.S., joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatinda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next week. Yeah.
Some inspiring music. They're coming from Toki Vibes, the man of the moment with Ndivurei Maziso Angu Ndione. This is Studio 74 Zimbabwe coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Some vendors that were arrested by the Gweru City Council a few weeks ago for vending in undesignated areas will appear in court this coming week to learn their fate, with the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe hoping for their release. The Zimbabwe Grain Millers Association's High Court order against the Agriculture Ministry in dispute of the issuance of permits for maize importers granted to independent importers recently has been dismissed. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, May the 31st, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.